Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Cutting Edge Outdoors Show. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors with your hosts, Dan Bush and myself, Tom Neubauer, and of course, Sam Schmitz is on the boards taking the calls. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., and we are live and we are unrehearsed. And since we're unrehearsed and live, you got to really hold on to those seats on the crazy train because they don't have seat belts, and sometimes we run off the rails. So you can help us get back on the rails by calling us live with your questions and comments at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Or you can always email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com, which we have a bunch of this morning. Anyway, good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Tom. I'm very excited today. We got a great show, I believe, lined up.
Yes, we do.
At about 6:30, we just might hear from our friend Troy. He's no longer up in the North Woods going crazy, staring at four walls in a cabin, a snowdrift. He's on a road trip for business, but he'll be striper fishing with a guide. Apparently, they got a 41-pounder the other day. He sent me a picture. So he's at the launch now. And he might give us a call around 6:30. I'm sure he's driving his guide nuts because the guide's going to be safe. For cripe's sake, you got to be fishing right now. What are you on the phone to some goofy radio show?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I got a feeling Troy will find a way to make it happen right when they're setting the lines. At 7 o'clock, we got CeCe's going to give us a call. We're going to do a little bit more rabbit talk. We were talking snowshoes last week. And along those lines, we got a real nice email from one of our listeners in regards to rabbits. Can I share it here, Tom?
Sure.
Okay. So, and you saw it as well. And as our regular listeners know, I was talking. I had been up in the promised land up there in Douglas County, wading through snowdrifts with Arizona Joe, trying to get the elusive snowshoe hare. And they were truly elusive. I did manage to get one. I like to stock them with a 22 rifle because the snowshoes tend to they'll run up, but they'll almost always just stop and wait for you to kind of they count on their camouflage. They trust it more than the elusive cottontail that normally when they take off. Sometimes they'll stop and look back, maybe if you whistle, but not near as often. But here we go. This is what our listener, I'll just go with his first name, Jacob, had to say. It says, loyal listener, my dad has had beagles since I was 10 years old, so over 25 years now. In that time, we've hunted an uncountable number of cottontail rabbits and snowshoe. it's interesting the differences between the two species. It's been proven that snowshoe hare are cyclical like the ruffed grouse. Like most game, the chainsaw is their best friend. The preferred habitat of the snowshoe are large stands of young poplar and jack pine that's found more frequently on paper company land in central and northern Wisconsin. When pursued by dogs, the snowshoe hare runs an almost perfect circle that can really regularly stretch out of hearing range by hunters. If you can pinpoint a spot on their circle and set up where you can see, you have a decent chance of getting a shot on their next pass. In deep snow, you can start getting ready just after you hear the dogs coming back into hearing range. Snowshoes put off a lot more scent than a cottontail, so in good tracking conditions, the chase can get raucous. Cottontails, on the other hand, they run much smaller and more irregular circles and are are more likely to jump in a hole than continue on for longer than needed. My dad claims that there are two subspecies of cottontail. There are ditch cottontail and woods cottontail. Their preferred habitat are the brushy spots in the obviously described locations, but they actually do have different colorings, markings, size, and behaviors. The former is on average smaller and much more gray and doesn't go far before jumping in a hole. The latter is usually larger with much more brown on the back and tends to run much larger circles for far longer, almost akin to a snowshoe. And then it goes on to kind of talk a little bit about preparation. I had talked about how those snowshoes are pretty tough, Tom. But it looks like they've eaten them in quite a lot of different ways. But one of the interesting things, and I've heard this before, it says like most small game, they lack fat. So you have to really watch your internal temperature as they'll get tough when you overcook them. Well, I kind of talked about those snowshoes. That's what happened to us years ago. There is actually a phenomenon known as rabbit fever, whereas you'll get very sick and eventually die if you try to survive on wild game meat for too long, as it lacks the fat necessary for long-term survival. I found this really interesting, Tom. And then Jake goes on to thank us for bringing back some old memories and talking about rabbit hunting. So I thought a great email. We want to thank a loyal listener. That's great information. First thing, Tom, I've heard that if you were to like be up north and you're eating nothing but snowshoe hare, you could still die of starvation. Have you heard that before?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And I was talking to Arizona Joe, and he said that it's also true with caribou. Have you heard that before?
No. No, I have not.
Okay. So is that true, Tom? Have you investigated that?
No, I have not.
Okay, because I'm really wondering. I mean, it's hard to believe that you could eat as much, you know, as you needed and still starve to death. So I found that kind of...
I can understand it because you're not getting the vitamins that are in, let's say, in vegetables and whatever. You're not getting, like they said, the fat that you need. You know, so yeah, I can see that, sure. You betcha.
How about as far as two subspecies of cottontail? I've never heard that, but
No. It's
something I want to check into.
Oh, I've never heard that either.
Although, you know, I have shot some cottontails that were, you know, small and dark, and then I have shot some big light-colored ones, too. In fact, you know, I'm always trying to get that elusive 3-pound fox squirrel, and I'm kind of a nut trying to get a 2-pound gray squirrel. So I'm kind of a nut as far as weighing what I shoot. The biggest cottontail I've shot two big ones over the years that, you know, just were heads and tails above bigger, and they were lighter colored, kind of like what Jake's describing, and they weighed over 3.5 pounds. They were big bunnies. So it'd be interesting to check into that. I think we got a caller right now, though, Tom.
All righty.
Yep, we got Rich in Milwaukee.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Rich.
Morning, Rich.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you something interesting. For the last probably 2 years, I've been kind of giving you a fishing report on Madison Lake, Monona Bay. And my brother and I were up there last Wednesday, and I was shocked to see that there were very few almost nobody fishing the bay itself, but everybody was in what they call the triangle.
Yeah.
And most of those guys were standing around. And so after about 4 hours, my brother-in-law did happen to get a limit of bluegills, and I he totally waxed me. I couldn't do anything right. But I wanted to mention that in the last 2 years that these bluegills were pretty much ranging about 7.5 to 8.5 inches with maybe a 9-inch out of 50 bluegills you caught. But for some reason this year, that average went up. The bluegills that he and I got were averaging 8 to 8.5 with a few more 9-inch bluegills in the bunch.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if any of you heard this, but a coworker was telling me that I don't know if the DNR or whatever, they took a lot of weeds out of that bay itself. And I don't know if that's what turned off the fishermen.
I don't know, but one of our friends, Ron Heidenreich, he was out there last week, and he caught a lot of those fish. He'd said that were in that 7.5, 8-inch range. And he was in Monona Bay.
Yeah.
So I haven't heard about guys leaving Monona Bay and going to the triangles. I haven't heard that.
Now, Rich,
the twice that my brother-in-law was up there in 2 weeks, that was the ticket. Everybody was in the triangle. But normally when you went up there, they were spread out through that bay. I mean, literally 100 guys.
Oh, yeah.
Rich,
it may be more. But I was shocked to see, you know, like 15 people spread out. It was very, very odd.
Are you going to
Let me ask you this, Rich. Did you say that they removed a lot of the weeds in Monona Bay?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the only thing I'm going to speculate here, Tom, you know, the average size in the bluegills in Pewaukee has been going up. And years ago, Ben, the biologist, mentioned that he felt that the reason we had so many small ones is we had so much thick weeds and it was hard for the predators to kind of crop them off. Lately, they've been planting a lot of walleyes and northerns, and they've been coming back. And all of a sudden, the size structure, the bluegills coming back, speculating that perhaps those predator fish are knocking more of them down so they're not as stunted. I wonder if being as they've knocked down some of those weeds on Monona, that's allowing the predator fish to more effectively prey on the bluegills, and that size structure is going up as well. That would be my only guess.
Well, it almost makes sense that's what's happening because, like I said, it was what I call a marked improvement in the size of those fish.
Yeah, that's good news for our bluegill hunting friends. I'm sure our good friend Paul Mahalik's a happy guy, too. We'll have to talk to him sometime in the future.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's slamming them there, too.
Report. If you go again, let us know what you find out, all right?
Hey, we'll do.
All right, thank you very much.
Take care, Rich.
You guys have a nice, good show, and talk to you again.
All right,
man.
Yeah, we got a number of emails here, Danny, to go through. I'll try to go through just a couple of them quick before their first break. This one is from Robert. He says, hello, guys. I just was reading in Hartford Business Journal that Colt Holdings is in negotiations to be bought out by CZG in the Czech Republic. I guess there goes another American gun maker, and he likes the show. So another American gun maker going down the tubes, going, you know, someplace else. At 7:30, we're going to have a fellow by the name of John Muchka. He's going to be telling us about a fishing jamboree for charity that's going to be held next Saturday. He's going to tell us all about that, and it's going to be held at Mugshots. Danny, where exactly is Mugshots?
Mugshots is off of SS. If you take SS, you can take the exit off of 94. And I guess you're heading east on that, or I guess southeast maybe. But anyway, typically you take a left to go down to the hill to the Muskie Shop, and in the waterfront pub's right there. In fact,
next to the waterfront pub.
It's very close. It's down the road from it. It's not next to it. It's down the road further to the east. So if you go that frontage road in front of the waterfront, just go that down to the east to the T. There's a stop sign about a block away. It's a real narrow street. I don't know what the name of it is. It's right on the left-hand side. And later on in the show, I'm also going to go. They got a fishery at Mugshots. I'm going to go through a list of all the fisheries coming up at the waterfront this year.
Right. And also to let everybody know that this weekend is the free fishing weekend. You know, take mom, take dad, take aunt, take the uncles, take whoever, take the kids who need a license. But yeah, it's a free fishing weekend, so get on out there. Also, February 13th is not that far away for the sturgeon spearing that's coming up. And another quick one here. I know it's we got about another minute, but there's a new smelt consumption advisory for Lake Superior. Rainbow smelt. You're only it used to be unlimited. You could eat as many as you want. Now they're saying it should be down to about one meal a month on smelt from Lake Michigan. And the last one, wait a minute, I got to go to the inbox here. Beaver Lake. Bruce the Youper says last Sunday he went by Beaver Lake. There were 8 to 10 cars were parked on Highway 83. That means the lot was full. The police were there writing tickets. So don't park on the highway. So don't do that. Don't park on the highway. And then he wants to know, can you grill northern pike on a cedar plank like salmon? Well, I'll tell you that when we come back, Bruce, and we'll talk about a few other things. One of them, striper fishing, like you said Troy is doing. I got a little story about that, if you don't mind. All right?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, we'll be right back with more folks of the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. So stay tuned for more.
Welcome back to Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush along with Tommy the True Neubauer. Thanks everybody for listening. We always make it a point to support the badge, law enforcement officers, healthcare workers, first responders, military workers, and I should mention, thank the truck drivers of our country. Guys like Tex in the big rig out there working hard, because without the truck drivers, our country would grind to a halt, my friends. Thanks to all of you for what you do, and thanks to all our listeners.
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody that after the 6:30 break, we got the gut report. After the 6:45 break, we have the Hornswoggle contest. And after the 7:15 break, we're playing NFL football contest. So you can win a couple of nice prizes on those two contests. Bruce, the Youper, here asked if you can grill northern pike on a cedar plank like salmon. Yeah, sure, why not? It's a fish, you know. I don't think the fish cares where they're being grilled on, so sure, why not? The other thing is you mentioned Troy Woodrow is fishing stripers, right?
Yep, may or may not be able to get a hold of us. I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure he's driving his guide nuts.
Right. I'm having an old man moment. What's the name of that lake in Las Vegas, that big lake?
Lake Mead?
Yes, Mead. Lake Mead. One time, many years ago, I was there the second time. One year I got invited to do a bass fishing seminar, and I got at a local marine dealer there. And in Las Vegas, and they actually had me audition. I had to go out with the two owners, and after catching a bunch of bass, they told me I was doing everything wrong. And after, I caught like my first three bass, then they started asking me exactly what I was doing. But anyway, the second year I went out, I went from hero to zero because I couldn't find a largemouth bass to save my soul. But I saw a bunch of fish jumping out. Way out further in the lake, and I asked the two guys, I said, what are those? They said, those are stripers. I said, you mean the real stripers that get really big? They said, yep. I said, can we go fish for those? So I caught some of the smaller ones, and I'll tell you, those fight as hard as any smallmouth bass I have ever caught. As a matter of fact, maybe even harder. Unbelievable fight in them. You know, you catch a one that's like 14, 15, 16 inches, you think you got a lot bigger fish on. But a couple of times, Danny, when I was reeling in one of the smaller ones, one of those big monsters came up following it. They're just like muskies, that they try to eat the smaller ones. You know, like if you're reeling in a walleye or a bass and a muskie will come up and try to steal it on you. These big stripers were doing the same thing. I was amazed at the size of them. I was amazed at the fight of them. So, yeah, I mean, Troy is a lucky guy, you know, being striper fishing. So, lucky guy.
You know, I drove out to Lake Mead many years ago when I was on a company trip to Las Vegas. So I rented a car and drove out there. And I remember going by the dam there.
Oh, the Hoover Dam, yeah.
Yeah, and I looked down.
That's awesome.
From the top, and I saw giant stripers down there. I mean, they looked, it's hard to tell because you're, what, a couple hundred feet up in the air and you're looking down. It's kind of like, I think it kind of magnifies them in the water. I swear to God, those stripers looked like they were at least 4 feet long. They looked enormous. And then I saw, it was really cool, I saw giant, and I mean giant carp down there. And they were brilliantly colored like goldfish, or kind of like the koi people, I think, put in their backyard ponds and stuff. It was incredible. But I couldn't believe the size of the stripers. Swear to God, they looked like they were 5 feet long.
Yeah, they can get pretty darn big. You know, they got them in Lake Mead, and they also have them over in Arkansas. I forget what lake it is, but there's several lakes in Arkansas where they have real stripers. You know, we have white bass up here, which some people call stripers, but they're not stripers, they're white bass. And then they got fish that are called wipers, which are a cross between a striper and a, I don't know if it's a walleye or maybe, no, it's a cross between a white bass and a striper. And then they got the real stripers that get huge, you know. So, yeah, that'd be cool to do that again. What was I going to tell you?
Don't we? So I know we got striped bass or white bass in Wisconsin.
Yeah, right.
I thought there's some place that does have some striped bass. Seems to me I heard something about or something.
They're not real stripers. They're
just calling the white bass stripers.
Yes, people calling white bass stripers.
How about wipers? Do we have any of those?
I think we do. I'm not positive though.
I know I got two on my new truck.
Yeah, I don't know about that. So, and then, I missed that. What did you say about your truck?
I said I got two on my new truck. Come on, Tom.
Well, I didn't hear it. I'm serious.
I said I got two wipers on my new truck.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yes. Yep. That one right.
You're full of jocularity.
That one went right over. Hey, I did check into the rabbit thing. Real quick, actually, the rabbit fever, rabbit fever refers to tularemia, which I've heard about years ago as a kid. My dad always told me you should wear rubber gloves when you're cleaning small game. So I've heard of that. Now, what Jake was referring to is actually called rabbit starvation. And the information I Googled says this: eating only rabbit can lead to malnutrition called rabbit starvation or caribou starvation, because rabbit meat and caribou meat during certain times of the year is very lean and doesn't contain much in the way of nutrients or fat, just protein. You have to eat a huge amount of the meat to get enough calories, but your liver can't process the huge amount of protein involved effectively, leading to ammonia buildup in the blood. So eating rabbit meat along with fat and carbohydrates is no problem. It's the all rabbit diet that makes you sick.
Right. And I want to say hello to my friend Bob Garfinkel. He sent us that update on the smelt consumption out of Lake Superior. Boy, I hope that doesn't happen, you know, out of the Bay of Green Bay, because they're still getting smelt, you know, out of the Bay of Green Bay. A few down here on Lake Michigan, not a lot. You've had smelt before, right, Danny?
Yeah. I think everybody in the world's had smelt.
Yeah, I mean, they're delicious. They're fantastic, you know, depending on how you make them. But you know, the smelt population in Lake Michigan, you know, hit rock bottom there for a few years, you know, and there's still a few there, but, boy, I'll tell you, the salmon and trout really gobble those babies up. So, not too many out there, but there are still some, and there are still some people who smelt fish in the spring. So I used to do it years ago. I used to enjoy that. I don't know if it was just an excuse to go drinking or if we were that serious about getting smelt. But anyway, listen, we gotta go to another break, Danny. Coming up next is the Gut Report. So stay tuned, folks. We got a lot of stuff coming up on the show. Don't go away from that radio dial. We'll be right back.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Well, last week, folks, there was one of the local grocery stores had salmon on sale. It was a really good deal. So I went and bought some. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of recipes used for salmon, and this is one of my favorites that I really like. First, I salt, make sure all the bones are out. That's number one. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees. You want to put the salmon on a wire rack. You want to put salt and pepper on them, and then, like, layer it with mayonnaise, and then put panko breadcrumbs on the top. Bake at, like, 350 for about a half an hour or until done. I can't tell you exactly how long because some pieces are thinner, some are thicker, so it all depends. But until done, and I'll tell you what, that is really, really good. I don't know what it is. Some people say you can't, like, heat up mayonnaise. Yes, you can. It's terrific on it. The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow in Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to discountliquorinc.com.
Welcome back to Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors. And Tom, thank you for that artery-clogging recipe. Actually, you know, salmon is good for you. The mayonnaise, not so much, probably, but salmon's good for your heart. And that sounds like a pretty good recipe. Tom, I know you're a great cook. I recently got a book from a good friend of mine, Mike, and he gave me this book. It's titled Venison: The Sleigh to Gourmet Field to Kitchen Cookbook. And I'll tell you what, Tom, it's got some unbelievable wild game recipes I cannot wait to try out.
You know, Danny, it's funny. There's a lot of recipes for, let's say, chicken and beef and pork that all you have to do is substitute venison. I mean, that's all you got to do, just substitute. And they come out wonderfully, yeah.
Or pheasants, other wild game, squirrel.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, funny you should mention pheasant. I have to go to the store in a couple of days and get some heavy cream because there's a pheasant recipe I used to make. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I used to make this recipe with pheasant all the time. Why don't I just substitute chicken with it? You know, chicken legs and thighs, what the heck, you know? So I'm going to be doing that this week, yeah.
Definitely. You know, Tom, you brought up an important point about the new smelt consumptory advisory.
Yeah.
You know, for many years, geez, I don't think I've checked into this for 40 years, because years ago I heard, okay, you know, pregnant women don't eat it, and if you're not a pregnant woman, you know, only have one meal of fish a week or whatever. And that's back when they were talking, you know, Lake Michigan, PCBs, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, those advisories have not gone away. This week, I actually did get a link and logged on to the Wisconsin DNR website, and they've got an explicit advisory where you can go by county and look up the lake that you're going to fish, including the Great Lakes. And it gives specific advisory on different species based on, you know, I think it has if you're 15 or younger, or a pregnant woman, or if you're 15 and older or not.
Right.
But there are some good, some it's there. And then they tell you what fish you shouldn't be eating at all. So I would suggest for our listeners, log on and check that out. Now, most of us, you know, don't eat fish that often to make a difference anyway. You know, if I have a meal every once in a while, I'm not worried about it. But, you know, if you got a freezer full of fish and that's all you do is fish, eat fish, you might want to check into those advisories.
Yeah, we got an email from our friend Ron Heidenreich. He said Columbia Lake in Portage, Wisconsin, that's where they got some of those big power plants, has hybrid stripers. The lake is a cooling reservoir for a power plant. The fishery consists of largemouth and smallmouth bass, hybrid striped bass, bluegill, channel, and flathead catfish and bullhead. And, yeah, Columbia Lake has got those hybrid stripers. Now,
well,
what they're a hybrid of, I don't know.
Well, that's what I was referring to when I said by a dam somewhere. That's what I was, someone had told me that.
Yeah, Columbia Lake in Portage County. Now, yeah, there's, and as far as I know, I remember, I never went to it, but I heard you can hike into it and fish from shore, or if you want to carry something light, you know, like a small canoe or kayak or something. Maybe you could even take a John boat. I don't know, but I know you got to walk to it, not very far, but you have to walk to it. As far as I know, there's no boat launch on it. But then again, maybe that's changed over the years. But Columbia Lake in Portage County.
I wonder. I'm sure those don't get as big as the stripers we're talking
about.
Oh
no, because they're not real stripers. They're hybrids.
Yeah, hybrids. I just wonder what they're hybrids with and how big they get.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you can always tell where that is when you're driving. I forget what highway it is that goes by Portage, Wisconsin. There's these big, big smokestacks, you know, so you know where that power plant is. And that reservoir, that Columbia Lake, being a cooling reservoir, it never freezes. It's always open water year-round. So, you know, you can even go fish it right now if you want it.
So, speaking of fishing right now, Tom, what's the report from your sons as far as their ice fishing lately?
He's catching a lot of fish. He's catching northern pike, caught a few nice big largemouth, a lot of bluegills and crappies, so, and even a couple of undersized walleyes. So, yeah, he's catching fish. He's a happy camper. And my grandkids, they're catching fish on the tip-ups that I bought them for Christmas, the Beaver Dam tip-ups. So, they're doing good. They're doing good.
So the report here on the east end of Pewaukee is not good, at least for me. I had been speaking the last couple of weeks about, I was catching a little bit of everything out here. I had tip-ups set all day yesterday and not a flag. And tip-ups, one of our listeners and friends, Nick, came out here last Sunday. We had a whole bunch of tip-up set up on the ice out there. Everybody had a good time, but we didn't catch anything. So the other story, I had heard rumors that down towards Doc's Dry Dock that guys were getting them walleyes after dark along that part of the lake. Well, the report I got from a guy yesterday was that the report he got from those guys is that they're not getting them there. So it seems like maybe it's time to migrate and go west, my friend, and fish the west end of the lake. Just to be careful, I guess. I do not know what the ice conditions are down there, but can I real quick go through the list of the waterfront fisheries, Tom?
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
Okay. So as you guys know, Waterfront is one of our fine sponsors, and they typically have some great fisheries going on. So so all these days, I believe, are Saturdays, unless I otherwise note. So on the 23rd. The Badgerland Ski Club is going to have a meat raffle. So I guess that's not a fishery, but you got the meat raffle. Everybody likes to win some meat, so you can go in, have a good time, do that. Fishing, however, begins on the 30th. Pluggins. Pluggins is going to have their fishery on Saturday the 30th. And then Sunday the 31st, so this, I believe, is the only Sunday jamboree, Monches. Monches is going to have their fishery on February 6th, Sherwood Forest Fishery. February 13th, it's not a fishery, but ice golf. That sounds fun, Tom. You're a golfer. You ought to try that. Ice golf and meat raffles. So that always gets a lot of outdoor enthusiasts. And then the big one on February 20th, the Pewaukee chapter of Walleyes for Tomorrow is going to have their fishery. Now, they're going to do a large part of it outside. I don't know exactly what Tom's got planned, if they're going to set up a tent out there or whatever. But hopefully in one of the upcoming weeks, someone can wake Tom up on a Saturday morning and have him call in and maybe give us more details.
And that's all you got so far?
I guess the only other thing I have is March 6th at the waterfront. They have a, this is important. It's not a fishery, but it's a good cause. March 6th, there's a food drive and meat raffle. So food drive and meat raffle on the 6th at the waterfront. So
yeah,
check them out.
And like I said, there's going to be John Muchka is going to call us about the fishing jamboree for charity out of Mugshots next Saturday. So there will be a meat raffle at one place, a fishing jamboree at another place. So you could actually enter both, right? Or do you have to be there to win on the meat raffle? Do you have to be there?
Well, the way they work the meat raffles, Tom, is they sell those. Those aren't the main raffle tickets that you buy to enter the fishery. Those are just individual raffles where they go around with the pound of bacon. Everybody pays a couple bucks to try and win it, and they make the drawing right then and there.
Oh,
so
okay.
So for meat raffles, yeah, it's not like you can show up and pick up your chuck roast later. For the grand prize raffles for a lot of these fisheries, if you win $500 or the whatever, a lot of them need not be present to win. You write your name and number on the stub,
right,
and they contact you after. So it kind of depends.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good information. And the more information that we have is coming up next is the Hornswoggle. It's brought to you by Carl's Country Market on the corner of Silver Spring and Pilgrim Road out there in Menominee Falls. They have more than just award-winning sausages, all kinds of meats. They have daily lunch specials that, you'd have to go there at lunchtime to get one to find out what they have. You can always call them ahead of time. Just Google Carl's Country Market, and they'll get you the phone number and all that. But you can win a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market by playing the Hornswoggle. So what you want to do is you want to call 414-799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Sam will get the first person on. Now, if you've won in the last 6 weeks or 2 months, don't call, because you got to let somebody else take a chance, and Sam is going to be checking the list twice. Kind of like Santa Claus. So we'll be right back with more, folks, on the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. Be a contestant on the Hornswoggle.
Welcome back to Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush along with Tom Neubauer. Thanks for getting on board the crazy train this morning. And Tom, let's see, just want to mention something real quick. We had a gentleman from Gun Owners of America on our show a while back, and we've kind of encouraged people to join them. They're similar to an NRA type of organization, but I think they're a little bit more fiscally responsible. But interesting, Tom, is, you know, social media has been doing their part to try and silence some voices in America. And there was a forum called the AR15.com, which was the largest gun forum in the world. They were actually kicked off the internet by their web hosting company. And the Gun Owners of America has also been censored by anti-gun tech corporations, now on a mission to silence any opposition to radical anti-gun control. But fortunately, AR15.com had a backup plan. They're back in business. But we are in times right now where if you want to protect your Second Amendment rights, I would suggest putting your money where your mouth is and joining some of these organizations out there fighting for our rights.
Yeah, also, whatever happened to our First Amendment of free speech? I guess it's not so free anymore, right?
Well, it's only free for certain people.
Yeah, right.
It's only free for certain people. We know which people those are.
Yeah,
the mostly
right.
peaceful
so,
ones. But so then when somebody else, somebody else does it, oh, you know, they can't be talking that way. It's the hypocrisy in our country just staggers the imagination, but I don't even want to go there.
I know. Who do we got for the gut report? I mean, excuse me, for the Hornswoggle.
We got Wally and Muskego.
All right.
Wally, I almost, sorry about that, Wally. You see what's on my brain. I said walleye and Muskego.
Yeah, so. Wally to walleye. Hey, how you doing, Wally?
Fantastic. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing good. Okay, so you know how this works.
Yep.
So here we go. Due to a DNR screw-up, buckshot is now illegal for the time being in Wisconsin.
Did you say buckshot is illegal?
Right. Due to a DNR screw-up, buckshot is now illegal to use in Wisconsin.
That's a no Hornswoggle.
That's a no Hornswoggle.
That's right. Yeah, we brought that up last week.
Yeah. And I guess the reason is they were trying to do some clarification for bird hunting rules and just basically said shot size T is the maximum. And they didn't think that, you know, people use buckshot for other things. So now they're trying, oh, man. And, of course, the red tape. Don't get Tom going on the DNR, but even this one's got me aggravated.
You could find buckshot to begin with.
What's that?
Not that you could find buckshot to begin with.
Yeah, right. I guess you can't
find it.
How do you use what you can't find? Okay, speaking of the DNR, when patrolling local waters, actually, the DNR wardens patrolling the local waters actually have more law enforcement authority than the sheriff departments and regular police out there. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
It is absolutely a no Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle, correct.
Right.
They can not only can they enforce the boating regulations and so forth. Matter of fact, I'm going to defend our friends, the DNR wardens. They normally know the laws better than your local cops out there for the weekend. They know the boating regulations, but they can also enforce the game, you know, game and licensing and all those regulations, which the police don't deal whether you got too many perch or not.
Hey, Dan,
okay.
I got a question with that regard. Is it true that they can come check your freezer without a search warrant?
Yes, they can.
Well, there you go.
That's a definite true. That's a no Hornswoggle. Yep, they can come into your house. If they suspect you have overbagged fish or undersized fish, they can come and check your freezer without a warrant. Yep.
Well, really, Tom? Now,
yes,
don't you have
can.
To, like, let them in the door first?
Yep. Yeah, you
really?
Can. Yeah, they can come in.
Just on a, acting on a tip?
Yep.
Okay. Well, interesting, I guess. I'm going to do a little research on that. I'm going to get right into my Durkee's mailbag research and work on that for next week. But I think you're right on that, probably. And finally, oh, I guess you already won there, Wally. But here we go. Buckshot is, A shotgun is good for shooting birds, but not good for shooting predators like fox and coyotes. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle. And that's kind of the people that are upset. These are the people that are upset, Tom, about all of a sudden you can't use buckshot rule, because a lot of guys like to use buckshot for coyotes and fox. You can call them in close and blast them with the buckshot. And now for the time being, it's illegal, and the DNR is going, oh, it's going to take 9 months to get this changed back. But our wardens will use their discretion, like, okay, maybe the warden will give you a ticket, maybe he won't. But for gosh sake, if you make a screw-up, straighten it out quick. Don't wait for meetings for 9 months later. So that's my gripe at the DNR right there, Tom. I know.
Wow.
I'm making you proud.
I'm surprised you're griping on the DNR.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just on the red tape. So, but anyway,
right.
Wally, thanks for listening. You did a great job. And I'll leave your address, and I'll get a $10 gift certificate sent out to you for Carl's Country Market. They've got some delicious stuff out there.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Okay,
all right,
thank you,
take
Wally.
Care.
So,
Yeah, another winner. That's good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, in fact, I got a thanks to one of our listeners, my friend Tom, for his gift package he dropped off along with this article. It was in the Freeman, the January 13th Waukesha Freeman, where they talk about the specific screw-ups on that buckshot regulation. And then they got a really cool picture of a guy standing holding what looks to be a huge coyote. And it says number 4 buckshot is a preferred shotgun load for predator hunters. A mistake in a rule simplification process has made buckshot illegal for any kind of hunting in Wisconsin.
And, yep. You know, to you know, be devil's advocate, you know, the DNR, they're only human. They make mistakes, you know. I mean, and like you said, though, you know, if a mistake is made, just try to rectify it as soon as possible, you know. So, you know, they will make a few mistakes here and there. And then,
yeah, well,
then you and I will catch them on it, and we'll let them know.
Yeah. Well, you mostly. Well, listen, I like the rank and file. Biologists in the field and the wardens,
yeah,
they do a great job.
They do.
I think it's the bureaucracy, it's at the top, I think. And even those that work for the DNR, they're afraid to really speak out and criticize because their job, you know, they could be in trouble. So sometimes I've seen them kind of roll their eyes sometimes too and just say no comment because they didn't want to get into it.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. We've had a number of wardens on the show, and you know, when we would be doing it from the studio, and then during commercial breaks, they'd say, don't ask us about this or that or whatever, we can't talk about it. And it's like, okay, you know, won't talk about it. So that happens, you know. That happens.
Hey, Tom, one thing I want to mention, being as you're the big foodie and gut report guy, what's his name? Dick Ellis has that one On Wisconsin Outdoor, whatever, the free publication.
Yeah,
you
right.
can pick it up at your local Quick Trip or wherever. The latest edition, I picked it up out at Wern Valley, and now I lost it. I got to get another one. Has a great recipe in there for pulled venison sandwiches and so forth.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Did you see that one? That one
yeah.
looks super simple and super... Are those recipes by Suzette or whatever? Is that what that column is?
I think that's who that is, and I've used hers in the past, and I always give her credit when I do, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, I saw that one, and if I remember correctly, weren't there a lot of ingredients to it?
No, there weren't.
No,
they weren't. That's why I would. That's the only reason I'd mention it, Tom. Would a guy me mention a multi? That's why I like simple recipes.
Yeah, me. Well, you know, on the Gut Report, got to do simple stuff. You know, I don't have forever to do it. But the other thing is that I do have one of those magazines, so I'll look at that again, and maybe next week I'll have that for the Gut Report.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
we got the top of the hour break to go to right now. And we're still waiting for Troy Woodrow to call. And who said was calling at 7?
Yeah, I don't think Troy's going to be able to get reception.
No.
It, that was kind of an iffy thing. But 7 o'clock, we got CeCe. He's going to join us, and he's going to talk about a very special rabbit hunt, my friends. You guys got to stay tuned.
All right, we'll be right back, folks, with that and much more here on the Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Cutting Edge Outdoor Show. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Well, some people say we're a couple of guys that are a few cans short of a six-pack. Well, I disagree. It's only because we drank them already. Hey, welcome to the second hour of the Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors.
You know, and they say that you got to fasten your seatbelts. You know what? The crazy train doesn't have any seatbelts. When was the last time you were on a train or a bus that had seatbelts? Well, if you want, you can always disagree with us if you'd like by calling us at 414-799-1250. That's right, 414-799-1250. Or email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Okay, second hour. Danny, what's up?
Well, we're still waiting to hear from CeCe, so hopefully we get to hear, I kind of teased it, our rabbit report. If we don't get it this week, by God, I guess we might have to do it next week, but yeah. We'll see if we hear from him. Again, Troy, I know they were having some cell phone issues when he was at the dock. It was the last text I got, so maybe we'll hear from them. I do want to talk about a couple of different things, Tom. You know, I learned a valuable lesson this week, and it's basically this. Blades on a handheld ice auger are pretty sharp.
Oh, and, yeah. You didn't cut yourself, did you?
Oh, yeah. My left hand is bandaged up with a big giant Band-Aid and electrical tape, and I probably should have went in for stitches, but I've got that... I've got that new 8-inch laser auger, and it happened when you least expect it. You know, I guess that's how it happens. You got to be careful in the great outdoors, whether it's slipping on a step on a tree stand, and next thing you know, you're laying at the bottom, or when you're putting the plastic cover onto the bottom of your auger, and all of a sudden your hand smacks into the side of one of those sharp blades, and you're like, oh boy, I don't even want to look at this. You just... push it against your hand against the leg to stop the bleeding and try and run inside to wrap it up as quick as you can. But man, those blades are sharp. And I was talking to my friend Arizona Joe, and he said he treats the end of an ice auger like the end of a rifle or a shotgun. And you know, that's really good advice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they are sharp. You know, the laser auger I had, I got like around 1993, 94, something like that. And I used it for many years. My sons use it. Now one of my sons uses it all the time. And, you know, we've never had those blades sharpened once just because of the fact that we always used the blade guard. We didn't go slamming it around. You know, we took care of it and have never had to sharpen those blades.
The thing that seemed to wreck the blades the most years ago, I used to have the old Mora augers. I had an 8-inch, and then I'd dull that one. And if I couldn't get blades one time, I just bought another brand new one. So I had two of them. But if you were drilling through some thick ice, and let's say there was like a stick or something froze in the ice, and your blade hit that, or if you were in too shallow of water and your blade hit the bottom of the lake, just any little thing would dull at least one side of those blades. And then it would be like the blade. It would be like only one blade would be working. It would be like you'd be trying to drill your hole, and it would be kind of drilling cockeyed, like it wanted to go sideways rather than straight down.
Yeah, you got to be careful with those babies, you know. And even opening up old holes wasn't the best thing to do because of the jaggedness of the ice, you know, and how it was refreezing in that. That was always. They always said, don't open up old holes with it. So
yeah, you know, that's interesting because I actually Googled that last week because I thought, yeah, I'm going to go open my old holes. And I thought, wait a second, I remember hearing something that's not a good idea. And the theory that what I got was this, is that can be extremely tough on your auger, although some guys reported that with a laser, they didn't have that problem. You know, it was still okay.
Sure,
I guess... Power auger, no problem. But yeah, I guess that's one of those tips. And then as far as sharpening blades for an auger, Tom, are there places that do that?
If it's a laser auger, send it in to have it sharpened.
Okay.
Now, and the blades on an auger, see, years ago when I had my store, I had a blade sharpening machine for the Mora blades. But when they came out with the lasers, you couldn't do those yourself. You had to send those in. And so that's what I would recommend. If but you should always do that before the season starts. You know, if there's any chips in it, and that you send them in before the season. And then the other thing too is, if you were, let's say, on your power augers, if you were to sharpen the blades on your power auger, just remember you only sharpen one side, not both. Only one side gets sharpened, and you can see which side it is, the side that has the angle. It's kind of like those, remember those Ginsu knives of years ago, Danny?
Yep.
The Ginsu, where they'd cut a penny, cut tin cans, do whatever. Those two were on the same premise. Only one side is sharpened. So if you're going to touch up the power auger blades, just remember, one side only. Otherwise, you'll screw it up.
How about this, Tom? I've heard that, I don't know if this is a good comparison, but I've heard guys claim that, like, even for, like, razors that people use to shave with, that if you dry them off and don't just put them away wet, that it keeps the blades sharper. How about with an ice auger? Is it best to just carefully dry those blades off rather than just leaving them wet? I don't know.
Yes, either dry them off, and you know, you just made me remember something. I would spray them during the season, and especially during the off season. I would spray them every now and then with WD-40. Just to keep the rust away.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, so, I mean, and I would usually remember it. You know, speaking of remembering things, remember a few weeks back, a number of weeks ago, a guy, I think it was our friend Bruce the Youper, said that, you know, to loosen up the drags on your reels, you know, at the end of the season, and, you know, don't leave them tight. And I said, yeah, everybody should do that. And then I started thinking, did I do that last year? So I went and checked every reel, and by golly, I did do it at the end of the season. I did loosen up every drag at the end of the season. But I had to check every one because he was making me think about it, you know.
Yeah, and I've done the same thing, Tom, and it takes me about an hour because I got about 60 rods and reels to locate in every closet and scattered throughout my universe here. But yeah, that obviously is a good tip. My my tip of the week is be careful about those blades on your auger because you can cut your hand. They are very sharp. The other lesson I learned this week is this, Tom. I know whenever I should have learned it from my father years ago. You know, we'd go up deer hunting years ago, and we'd have our deer rifles, of course, but Pop always had a backup rifle when we went deer hunting. Always had a second one. And just in case something happened to one, something, I don't know, scope would go bad or whatever. And this week, I was out hunting, and we were doing some pheasant hunting. And guy I was with, he actually had a shotgun with him. I think it was an over-under, side-by-side. And he says, well, my other one, the firing pin isn't working. So he had his backup one with him. And guess what happened to his backup one?
Oh, I don't know.
Same thing. Wasn't firing on the first, when a bird would
really?
Go up, he'd go to go, it would go click. But then he'd have to pull the first one, and then the second one would fire, and he's a great shot, but it was really messing him up, which was just allowing me more of a chance to shoot the birds. But I said, do you have a backup shotgun? He said, no, this is the backup. But
wow.
I was thinking about this. Now, realistically, like, I've only got one shotgun that I use for bird hunting. I got your basic Remington 870 Express. The three screw-in choke tubes, I can drop it in the mud. It's not some $2,000 Benelli or whatever. But realistically, a guy should always have two shotguns, just like my dad had an extra rifle when he went to go deer hunting. Because if all of a sudden one takes a dump on you, what are you going to do? I know our friend Al Shook, he always has a couple shotguns when we go out to Wern Valley. So good thinking on Al's part, I guess.
You know, I wonder how many rounds you have to go through before your firing pin gets rounded to the point where it won't penetrate, you know, the shell to fire it. You know, I mean, I wonder,
I wonder how many rounds you got to go through, because now I have a Ithaca Model 37A Featherlight 12-gauge shotgun that over the years I've put thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds through it. And that firing pin is still just fine, but I wonder how, why some go bad, you know? Wonder
well,
why it is.
I'm not a firing pin expert. I believe halfway during our hunt, we went back and one of the guys had some gun oil and sprayed that on there. And I think after that, it was working okay. So I don't know if it's a situation where the firing pin, if it can freeze up. I don't know. I'm not a firing pin expert. I do know that you're not supposed to dry fire firearms for that reason, and that in some way it can hurt the firing pin. But I guess, you know, perhaps we'd someday maybe we'll get a gunsmith on the show again to kind of explain the intricacies of the firing pin.
Yeah, that'd be a bad idea.
That sounds like a pretty nice shotgun, though. Those Ithaca featherweight, is that what it was called?
Model 37A Featherlight. Yeah, I've had it, well, let's see, now I'm 68 now, and I've been using it since I was about 18 years old, 18 to 20. So I've had it a long time, 50 years at least, 50 years.
Is that a pump or a semi?
It's a pump. It's a pump.
Pump.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, because I think that particular model is a pretty well-known model as far as kind of an iconic shotgun.
Yeah, and it's never broken down on me. You know, it's always worked. So whenever I need it, it worked. So we got to go to another break, Danny. It's time to pay a couple of bills, folks. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee. We'll be right back with more. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. We are the Wacky Walleyes, Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Welcome back. To Wacky Walleyes, Cutting Edge Outdoors, and now is the time that Tom has breathlessly been waiting for, his favorite segment of the day. Take it away,
yeah.
Tom.
The NFL football picking contest brought to you by Curly's Waterfront Pub on Pewaukee Lake. If you want to be a contestant and win a $10 gift certificate, all you got to do is beat or tie Danny, myself, or Sam, and against the spread by picking against the spread on this week's game. So call 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. If you've won in the last 6 to 8 weeks, don't call. We're checking the list, checking it twice. So give somebody else a chance to win. Anyway, 799-1250. Be a contestant for the football picking contest. And, well, Sam, I know they're playing at, what was it, 335 or 340 today? Is that right, Danny?
Three, somewhere around about that. So I plan on joining the gang at Park Avenue Pizza. Stop on out. Amy normally has some pretty good things going on for Packer games. And pretty exciting. I think it'll be a great game today.
Yeah, Curly's Waterfront Pub will have all their TVs tuned to the game and get a seat at the bar or one of the tables. And you can spend that $10 gift certificate. So... And they're playing the Los Angeles Rams, is that correct?
Yes, they are playing the Rams as well. So, yeah, you are right. Waterfront, I typically like to do the first half of the game at Waterfront and Park Ave the second half. So you got lots of fun places to watch the game out here. One thing about Waterfront, though, Tom, their French fries are all perfectly sized. They're all the same.
Well, we got to find out from Sam to see if we have a contestant and to find out what the point spread
is.
We do. I think we got somebody.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sam. Hold on one sec. Sorry, I forgot. I wrote down their name, but I forgot. Give me one second here.
This is a well-oiled machine.
All right, Brian in Pewaukee.
Brian in Pewaukee. And what's the point spread, Sam?
Packers are favored by 6.5 points.
Oh, wow, they're favored big. Brian, what do you like in this game?
Well, the Packers' offense is, you know, just playing at high level. So I'm thinking that I don't think anybody's going to come into Lambeau and beat the Pack right now. Rams' defense is great, but
yeah.
And Pack in playoff football, I think, you know, and it's an offensive league, and I like the Pack. I like the Pack by at least 10.
I just wish it was snowing.
Yeah, that would help. And plus, you got a warm weather team, and Goff, he's a California boy. Hit him a couple times in ball game.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. Rodgers is a California boy too, but he's been up here in Green Bay long enough to get
exactly
used to the weather, I guess. So, Danny, who do you like?
Well, I know this one seems a gimme, but I flash back to 2007 when the New York Football Giants upset the Dallas Cowboys and came in at 9-7 against the 13-3 Green Bay Packers. And was it Monte Toomer caught 170 yards worth of passes on Al Harris? And Eli Manning did just threw the passes that he needed to. And they had a running game and a stout defense that kind of led them. Well, Rams have that stout defense. And I'm kind of afraid the same thing might happen. So with the 7 points, I'm going to go with the Rams.
But you think the Packers will win, but maybe not cover the spread, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, and I'm going to go with the Packers. And Sam, what do you like?
I like the Packers to cover.
All right, so, well, I guess you're a winner already. You'll get that $10 gift certificate to the Waterfront Pub, Curly's Waterfront Pub. Do you know where that is?
I do.
Good, good. All right, well, Danny will send that out to you. Congratulations.
All right, thanks a lot. You guys have a great day.
Thank you, you too.
Okay.
Take care. All
right.
Tom, I hope he held on to get so we get his address.
If not, I'm sure he's listening, and he can call back in,
799-1250.
Call Sam. And I was out at the waterfront 2 days ago, and I talked to Ryan out there.
Yeah.
And he had, as you know, I had kind of mentioned that they had today open for a fishery because one of the previous ones had canceled. But he was talking to me, and he said, you know, as it worked out, it actually worked out okay because – at that time, we didn't realize that there would be a Packer playoff game today. So,
Right.
Yeah, so they're gearing up like all the local establishments out here for a lot of people for the playoff game.
Yeah, the local places are going to be busy. They will be busy. You know, but I'll tell you, you know, this is just me, but I really like listening to the announcers on the game and like listening to the game, what's going on the field and all that. And that's why I never liked watching a Packer game, in a bar situation, because it's so loud, and people talking and cheering and screaming, and I just can't hear what's going on, you know. So I like the camaraderie, I like the enthusiasm, I like the beer, you know, whatever, and like the food, but it's just too loud for me. I think it's too loud. So
well,
I like watching it at home, yeah.
I will say kudos to my buddy Jake over at Carly's. He actually rigged up a special speaker system where, I mean, you will hear the game when you're there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's really into it. He's a Packer fan like you wouldn't believe. The only time you won't be able to hear what's going on is if Jake starts yelling and screaming and losing his mind if something bad happens for the Packers. But I'll tell you what, we got some avid fans in Wisconsin. You know, I get a kick out of it, though. We talk about California boy and being up north. You ever notice that these guys that come from down south, they typically try to adapt the northern Wisconsin lumber sexual persona where they're growing the beard and trying to look rugged and outdoorsy. So even Aaron Rodgers looks as scruffy as he possibly can this time of year to look like he's the tough north woodsman out there playing.
Mm-hmm. You know what I don't understand? That when it's like there was a Packer game I noticed. I was walking by. My sons were watching it, and it was snowing, right? and there was a lot of snow on the field. That was a few weeks ago. And these guys, they have, they're going sleeveless, right? They're going sleeveless. There's, I mean, it's cold out. There's snow on their arms and on their body. I just don't understand. I mean, I'd be wrapped up in whatever. You know, they have to go out there. I know they're trying to be tough as nails, and they are, but still, boy, that's got to be cold, you know?
Well, I dare say that the football players of yesteryear, 50s and 60s, those guys were tougher than even the players today, because they were losing teeth, they didn't have face masks. Bud Grant, the legendary coach of the Minnesota Vikings, he actually would not let his players back in the 70s, the Purple People Eaters, he would not let them wear, they had to go short sleeves, no gloves. I mean, it was a psychological thing. And you know how cold it got in Minnesota back then.
Oh, yeah.
So he was that one coach. Interesting sidelight, Bud Grant is from Wisconsin. He actually went to high school in Superior with my uncle years ago, where he was a three-sport star jock athlete. And and he also enjoys hunting and fishing, too. But they were tough back then, man.
Yes, they were. And we're tough here on the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors.
No, we're not. We're marshmallows, dude.
Yeah, we got another break coming up. See, we're tough on the breaks. That's what I meant. We're tough on the breaks. We got another commercial break coming up. But when we come back, we're going to have John Muchka on, and he's going to tell us all about this fishing jamboree for charity that's coming up next week, Saturday. So stay tuned, folks. Hold on to your seats, because on this crazy train we don't have seat belts, like I told you. We'll be right back.
All right. Welcome back to Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for getting on board the crazy train with us today. We got about our last half hour, a little less than that, I guess, Tom, left, and we've got our special guest, John, on the line.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Hey, we're doing great. I hope you have to work today?
Actually, no. It's my weekend off. So.
That's great. That's good. So tell us all about this charity ice fishing chamber you got going on next week at Monk Shots.
Absolutely. So Farm to Tables is a 501c3 charitable nonprofit organization. With our mission is to help end food insecurity and the hunger crisis in Wisconsin. So we started about 5 years ago, my wife and I, and unfortunately due to COVID, a lot of our fundraising opportunities have been dampened. So nothing indoors. So a friend of mine suggested having a fishery. So it's going to be our first annual fishery. We're going to have it at Mug Shots. Registration is going to be 6:30 Saturday morning. You can definitely go out and pre-fish before that, but just come in and register in the bar. We'll be there by 6:30. We've got some wonderful bucket raffle prizes, a propane auger, some beer baskets. Sherpers donated a nice little basket. Acme Tackle donated some things as well. So we'll also have a 50-50 raffle. So definitely come out, bring the kids. It's a family-friendly environment, and all money raised, 100% of the money raised, is going to go to help meal programs and food pantries in southeastern Wisconsin.
Well, that sounds great. That sounds excellent. So when does it end, did you say?
Need to register the fish by 4 o'clock, and then the fish payout and raffle prizes will be drawn at 4:30.
Okay.
Hey, John. John, I was actually out to take a look at the flyer at the Mug Shots there, and it looks like you guys got some pretty good prizes as far as the fish prizes. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like you got prizes for first, second, and third place in the individual species. Is that correct?
Yep, that's absolutely correct. So six species, northern walleye, bass, perch, crappie, and bluegill. We're going to pay out for the top three fish. We have some community partners that helped out with that, so you'll have a chance, so definitely come out, get your fish on, and bring the kids out. It should be a good day.
And it says, I'm reading it now, it says the kids under 12 are free.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Yep, yeah. And the registration for adult fishermen is $15. And again, 100% of all the money raised is gonna go to help our neighbors in need.
And I also see it says hot food and cold drinks starting at 9 a.m. I like that.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah, you got to have hot food, that's for sure.
Didn't check the weather that far out, but hopefully it's not sub-zero.
Yeah, hopefully not. You know, this last week would have been perfect. But you know what? You got to take what you get, you know, this time of year.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, John, thanks for calling. Thanks for getting up early. I hope you didn't have to get up special this morning.
Nope. Everybody's waking up in the Mushka household. So the kiddos are awake now. So time to get the day going.
All righty. Well, thanks very much, John. You have a great weekend.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Bye now.
Bye now.
So, see, there you go, Danny. There's another one.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Next week, the 23rd, this works out perfect because here's what you can do. You can do the fishery and enter that at Mugshots. But then down the road at Waterfront, they don't have a fishery, but they got the Badgerland Ski Club meet raffle. So I'm thinking you could enjoy both of those. You could go do one, do the other. They're right a block away. So lots happening next week. And I think it's especially nice that they have this as a fundraiser for a good cause. Now, $15, yeah, that might be more than the $5 that you typically might pay for a ticket to enter another fishery. But the money goes to a good cause. And actually, their prizes, Tom, you know, I've won some fisheries over the years for biggest pike out in Pewaukee. And I guess I've won $25 a couple of times. I won $50 the last time. But I believe their first prize, if I'm not mistaken, is $75.
Right.
For the biggest, that's pretty, man, you're getting close to $100. That's pretty darn good. And for all you chiselers and cheaters out there, don't be tempted to try and cheat now. I've actually seen that happen in some. That's one of the reasons why they keep the prizes typically kind of lower.
Yeah,
you were the one that told me that, Tom, years ago.
Yeah, the prize money is a lot lower, just because of the fact that, yeah, you'll have guys cheat for that $25 or $50. You know, it's terrible.
Yeah, but this one's a good fundraiser, so good times for all there.
I hope they make a bunch of money. They're doing it for a good cause. So
And then I mentioned that there will be some. I guess on March 6th, they've got one that's also a charitable one. Food drive and meat raffle is going to be right down the road at the Waterfront. So we hope all of our listeners out there support some of these good causes that we got going on.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, I wish we get a report on Lake Michigan, you know, from the Hone Bridge, if guys are fishing underneath the Hone Bridge there, if that's open and that, and if they're, you know, fishing there, if they're catching fish. If anybody's heard anything about that, give us a call at 799-1250. I'm interested in finding out. Have you heard anything, Danny, about that?
I haven't. I know our friend Jim Dembeck was catching. He sent me a picture. He caught about a nice 14 or 15 pound brown on the lakeshore somewhere. That's something a guy can check into. Now, the one thing that I've never done is I've never caught the trout through the ice. And that is something that I would like to try and do. But I guess it's kind of a finesse kind of a type of thing. And you can't be running around by your holes and so forth. The fish are spooky, from what I understand, under the ice. So that. But then if there's open water, you get the guys go out there in their boats. And they can catch some giant brown trout. I think by that warm water discharge there is where they like to sit and jig them.
Yeah, and, you know, in ice fishing in the harbor is kind of, it's iffy at times. You know, you got to be really careful. You know, you do see people out there ice fishing in the harbor, but, boy, I don't know. You just got to be careful out there, that's for sure.
Yeah. You definitely don't want to go through. Now, the other thing, Tom, you know that nowadays Strike Master, I believe, and what are some of the other major ice fishing type companies? They make shanties and everything else. You'd probably know
there's
more.
There's a whole bunch of them, yeah. Frable and Clam and there's some other ones. Eskimo.
They actually make flotation suits now.
Yeah.
So if you if you really want to be safe, get one of those flotation suits. And Tom, I've got an incoming call. I think we got a caller, Sam.
Yep, our good buddy Dennis from Boulder Junction.
Tom, I'm gonna check out for the next couple minutes while you talk to Dennis till the next break. I have to make a call, and I think we're going to have Cece for our next section, but I got to kind of check out so I can make a call here.
All right, put Dennis on.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dennis. We should have some theme music for you. Yeah, we should have some theme music for you. The Up North Report.
Yeah, I know. I used to have that fishing that song from Andy when the kid was going fishing.
Yeah.
I forget what that was, that program, but anyway.
So what's going on up there in God's country?
Well, we finally got some snow. We could use a lot more snow up here. I was down in Milwaukee on Wednesday, and I see you got more snow down there than we have up here.
Wow.
And we're getting some snow. We got a couple inches the other day. It helps a little bit. We could use a lot more. This is race weekend at Eagle River, so there's a lot of snowmobile traffic, but it's easy to get around on the lakes right now. Most lakes got anywhere from 12 to 15 inches of ice.
Oh, really? Holy moly.
We got a lot of ice up here. We had no snow for a long time, obviously, and the lakes had a chance to freeze deep. So that's very helpful, and it's easy to get around the lakes right now.
Yeah.
And very little slush. And walleye fishing and northern fishing has been real good. Pan fishing is going to be starting here pretty quick. When I say pan fishing, crappies and perch. So you got outside activities. The weather hasn't been too cold, so people are getting out on the ice and they're ice skating and they're hiking in the woods and they're cross country skiing, snowmobiling. So we could use more snow.
It's starting to really the winter sports are turning on up there by you. But like you said, more snow. Yeah, you need a little bit more snow.
The trails, that's the only thing that's suffering right now. We could use another. A couple of 2-3 inch snowfalls that would help the trail system, and they're getting around, but it needs a little bit more. But otherwise, the winter activities are great right now, and if somebody wants to come up and spend some time up here, call ahead, of course. But I didn't even think Oneida County is now going to be opening up their trails here pretty quick, and that's been closed for a long time. Well, it's been closed, obviously, hasn't opened yet, but they're getting enough now where they can get open. But we are open, and further north from Boulder North is Vilas County North is open for trail riding right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, from what I understand, you guys should have been getting more snow last night or something, today maybe you're getting some.
Yeah, Lake Superior is not froze over. There's only 2% ice on Lake Superior right now, and if we get any kind of a northwest wind, get lake effect snow, which helps the snow conditions.
Yeah. Well, Dennis, thanks for the update. We always appreciate it.
And we'll keep in touch with you guys and have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Dennis. Thanks. That's Dennis Royce, our Boulder Junction connection up there in God's country in Boulder Junction. And, you know, it's funny to think, though, that he says we need more snow. I'll tell you one thing. We don't need any more down here. I don't want any more snow. Anyway, we got to go to another break. This is our last break of the day, folks. So you stuck with us this far. You might as well stick with us for another segment. One more to go here on the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. We'll be right back.
It's the final countdown.
Welcome back to Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening today. I'm Dan Bush along with Tom Neubauer. We got about 7 minutes left in the show, and I know I teased earlier that we were going to talk a little bit of bunny rabbits, And so a little bit delayed, but better late than never. We've got Cece on the line to talk about a very special rabbit hunt. Good morning, Cece.
Good morning, Dan.
So tell us a little bit about Rabbit-A-Rama.
Well, we started about 15 to 20 years ago. And it's all kinds of hunters that get together. It's after mostly all your regular hunting is done, except for rabbits and squirrels, I believe. And we all get together. A lot of the women and stuff make some hass and pepper, some nestles full of venison. We get together in the back. We leave at 9 o'clock, and we got to be back by noon. And I usually weigh all the rabbits, and whoever has the most rabbits wins, some money, a little bit of money. And it's mostly just to get together with all the hunters and talk about success stories, bull hunting, fishing, and things like that.
So let me ask you, Cece, now, so it's a morning hunt. And I think you were telling me before, like, it's what, like four-man teams, and it's so you could weigh in maximum 12 rabbits, and it's based on weight. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And now, where is this held? And, I mean, is it open if there's a couple hunters? I know we got one rabbit hunter out, Jacob, listening to us.
Sure.
If some of our hunters, listeners out there want to go out and do this, when is it being held, and where should they go?
Saturday, February 13th, you have to be by my tavern, Seafood Place. We open up earlier, 7 till 8:30, quarter to 9. You register. I give you a bag to put all the rabbits in properly. And it's $20 a team, $5 a guy. We have a lot of prizes. A lot of my sponsors, Budweiser and Miller, will also kick in some prizes. So we try to get everybody a prize, for participating. The rabbits that the guys don't take home, this one person picks it up, and we donate all the money to a charity. Last year we donated the money to Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Well, it sounds like a great time. And I was talking to you, I guess, if a guy, even if you don't have a four-man team, just Joe Schmo can just go enter himself and just enjoy the company.
Correct. And you can, like I said, the women that help cook and some of the guys also that cook, they bring nestles full of awesome food, and it's all free. And like I said, it's a camaraderie, and anybody can get in. We also have a couple women team too, just not men, okay? And
Where is CC's located?
It's in Washington County. It's a 6 mile. You get to Kewaskum, it's 6 miles west of Kewaskum on Highway H.
Okay.
Big town, yep. Wayne.
Yeah, and it sounds like a fun time. And in fact, CC, we were talking about this on the show about a week ago. I was talking snowshoe hares and whether you can cook those like you can do cottontails, and I've heard from our listeners that yes, you can, and they got the Hassenpfeffer recipes, but I've never had Hassenpfeffer. Can you describe that to me?
Well, it's all kind of mixed up with some carrots and celery and some onions and bowls, and it tastes like chicken.
Tastes like chicken. And real quick, I'll mention, CC, now you've actually got CC's Pheasant Acres out there. Do you want to plug that real quick for our listeners?
Sure. It's just a small little place. So if you want to, it's nothing big. It's just bring a couple people, bring your puppy, bring your adult dog or whatever, and just enjoy a little short hunt. I don't have 200 or 300 acres like some of the other places. I get a lot of father, son, daughter, son, daughters and wives and husbands that bring their kids out. I get a lot of young dogs that come out for the first time, too. And I think it's just enjoyable. I usually make it so if you get so many birds, like 10 or 12 or 15 birds, you mostly get the whole morning or afternoon to hunt them. So it's enjoyable. It's more of a family atmosphere kind of place.
Are you, is your season going to go for a little bit longer? What's your time frame now?
As long as I get birds, it's kind of hard for a little guy like me to get birds out with the COVID, like everything else. But If I can get some more birds by the end of January, I'll continue a little bit. But right now, the snow's killing my cover a little bit.
Gotcha. Well, I know I was out there hunting last week, shot my first chucker. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. So I'd encourage our listeners, get a hold of CC's. What's the best way for them to contact you?
My number is 920-912-5044.
And if a person isn't going to hunt the bunny rabbits, can they still come out to CC's and have a cold one and watch the weigh-in?
Yeah, we're pretty famous for our dollar canned beers.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. You better get some extra parking now.
How much was that?
We urge that you have an Uber driver.
Wait a minute. I missed that. How much for a can of beer?
$1 for a can of beer.
Oh, count me in.
Oh, God. Oh, man. I'm more excited about that than I am the rabbit hunt now there, CC. So.
Well, today for the Packer game, we have 6 cans for $5. So.
Even better. All right. Well, thanks for calling, CC. God bless and good luck with the hunt.
Yeah, thank nice talking to you, CC.
Yeah, thank you guys very much.
All right. Take care, man.
Bye.
Boy, Danny, that's really cheap.
That's a good. I got to go out to CC's. The only thing I didn't ask him is if he has hot bartenders, but with a buck of beer, if he doesn't, they'll be turning hot pretty quick.
Oh, goodness me.
Hey, yeah. Well,
I knew we would fall down that rabbit hole sooner or later.
That's why people listen to us. So that's all I got, Thomas.
Well, yeah, this has been a great show. I've had a great time this morning, Danny, and that's all I got too.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to Wacky Walleyes. Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, go out and do something nice for someone, my friends. We'll talk to you all next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.